Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:05, January the 28th, 2011, and good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
Lika.
And that's if you're Swedish.
It's going to be one of those days, I hope.
Okay, we can hope that. Okay, it's 530-605-4567. Bad Bob's Red again. And we're streaming and we're talking on KCNR1460.com. Hey, Bad Bob, how you doing?
Pretty good. It is a Friday. Got some busy days ahead, but what a nice day to be in Northern California.
You know, it's going to be a beautiful day, and speaking of beautiful, here she is to tell you about it.
Good morning. You know, I just want to share with you pretty much a state of mind that, you know, last night I had my show, and there were technical difficulties as a piece of machine that's distorting and doing things. And it just threw me in such a funk. I was just, you know, it was one of those nights that affected my sleep. And so today, you know, you wake up and you think, gosh, you know, here it is. When you look on this day in history, on January 28th, in 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds after liftoff from Cape Canaveral, killing all seven of the crew members.
You know
when you look at that, don't you think, I mean, one would think, you know, I'm alive, I have everything in front of me, it's about my state of mind, so snap out of it.
You know, here's the question you have to ask yourself. And, you know, you've asked me before, you said, why don't you get upset about this? Or other people say that to me. And I think the bottom line is, if there's nobody laying around you that's bleeding, and there's, you know, and people are alive, and it's just something that just, you know, something just went bad, and in the you know, if you look in the whole scheme of everything, how important is that? Yes, right then it's important, and it irritates you as it should, because we had a mixer go out last night.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I guess my analogy.
We've got it replaced now.
Exactly. And, you know, we have great people at the boards, but it's, you know, my analogy would be like you're singing and you're in the middle of, you know, this thing, and all of a sudden your microphone goes out and you're trying to throw the balls in the air. But anyway, enough of that, because on to new things also.
Well, can I just finish a little something on that Challenger thing? It's that, you know, what was so tragic about the Challenger, it was the very first high-tech disaster that was, and it was televised throughout the world.
In schools.
Schools had special, you know, had their TV set up because the first school teacher was going into space, Krista McAuliffe. And they had it all. Everybody was there. The kids went outside, that, you know, from in Florida, that were going to watch the launch. And then 73 seconds into the launch, they had that horrible explosion. And, you know, it just kind of like...
Killed everybody on the...
Well, yeah, killed everybody.
All the crew members.
And it changed kind of the thought. Because up until then, yes, we had had a disaster before where three had been killed, but it was on the launch pad. But this was something that wasn't supposed to happen. Anyway...
Anyway, so
years ago today.
When you think about, you know, these things, the horrific things that happen, and, you know, I mean, we're not, you know, starting our day off with that. It's, again, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, the mayhem that's happening in Egypt moment by moment. It's about how do you maintain a happiness and peace within yourself, you know, because you can get really crazed with tuning in. We're going to take a break. I'm going to tell you about a little bit more that what's happened in history. I think it's really kind of fun to, we think it's fun to kind of talk about what's happened in this day in history. It makes you flash back and, again, be appreciative. It's a high, it's going to be high today, a sunny, beautiful day, 64, so we're cooling down a little bit. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy with a low of 34 degrees.
And, you know, today on the show we're going to have the Patriot Guard writer, Captain Jeff Nelson. We're going to be talking about the memorial to Joshua Munns. That's going to happen Monday. And also, Assemblyman Jim Nielsen is going to be on the phone with us today at 8 o'clock, and we're going to be talking budget. We're going to be talking, you know, the proposed Brown budget and the impact it can have on us up here.
Talk about sunny dispositions. We are encouraging you to have one as well. We'll be right back. Carla Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. Yeah, shout out to Jay, the commercial you just heard. Jay was on my show last night. What a great guy. Penelope and Danielle, his girls, he brings in his, these are my pride and joy. Calls him Penny and Danny. Isn't that cute? Anyway, Jay, great guy. Just love his story of how he became a cab driver. You cannot believe the intense background check that today, if you're going to drive a cab, what you have to go through.
Is it as intense as we do to people that work here at the station? You know, in fact, we're still getting material on Jim Brummer that I'm just for 40 years.
Okay, on this date, 1547, England's King Henry VIII died. In 1909, the United States...
Hermits.
Yeah, there you go. In 1909, the United States ended direct control over Cuba. And you'll love this. In 1915, Bob, the Coast Guard was created by the Act of Congress.
Never to be seen again.
1959, Vince Lombardi was named head coach of the NFL's Green Bay Packers.
And by the way, if the Packers win the Super Bowl, they will be the most winning Super Bowl team of ever.
Man, oh, I'll tell you what do they call them? Wall of Steel? What do they call them?
The Steel Curtain.
Steel Curtain, okay.
On
January 28, 1887, Arthur Rubinstein, the Polish-American virtuoso pianist, was born following his death on December 20th. In 1982, his obituary appeared in the Times. And on January 28th, 1871, Harper's Weekly featured a cartoon about African-Americans. So those are some really important dates. Also, want to tell you about there's going to be a metal night in Reading for all you headbangers.
That's something I'm sure that most of people listen to.
Our listeners probably like some good heavy metal now and then. That's going to be 8 p.m. at Bombay's, and that is obviously, is that tonight? Oh, boy. It says 8 p.m. at Bombay's, so it must be tonight. And then, of course, the Seroptimus International 39th Annual Mardi Gras is Saturday night, along with the Blues Jam. So get your tickets. The Mardi Gras is going to be at the Convention Center, and the Blues Jam is at Cascade.
Okay, you know, you think we have problems with our police here. And we don't. We have a great police station. Police station sucks. But we have good police. Well, it does. I mean, if you've ever been to the police station... It is. I mean, the roof's falling in. The pipes are backing up. You want to talk to somebody? You got to move the dog cage out of the room. I mean, this is. You know what? If Mayberry, and Sheriff Andy had a better police station than we've got, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But how'd you like to be down in Mexico, where the police chief and all 38 police officers of a northeastern Mexican town have quit following a series of drug cartel attacks, including the decapitation of two of the policemen that were on the squad. And the police quit after the discovery Wednesday of the mutilated bodies of two officers who had been kidnapped by gunmen 2 days earlier. You know, the battle's going down there. The battle in Mexico has killed thousands and thousands of people. It's costing them millions and millions of dollars because of the tourists that are turned away. The last story was a missionary and her husband were down in northern Mexico. Came up to a roadblock. They wanted to steal their car. Her husband turned, and they shot the woman, killed her. Woman missionary. She was pronounced dead in the United States when she came back. Arizona. They want to target birthright citizenship. Arizona Republicans have introduced legislation on Thursday seeking to challenge the right to U.S. citizenship for children born in the state whose parents are illegal immigrants or other non-citizens. You know, it's going to change. It would have to change the Constitution. And frankly, Bad Bob, get on here. I'm not sure why you should be a citizen. I understand why it was done before. I understand the 14th Amendment and why it was done for the slaves. You know, so that these people that had been brought involuntarily to this country and during slavery, why this was. I don't understand why if you walk across the border illegally and you have a child here, that child becomes an automatic citizen and gives you a magnet to hang on to being here.
I would be curious to know how many of these other enlightened countries, quote unquote, that have similar laws. Because they're always bad mouthed in the U.S. because we're so this, we're so that. I wonder how many of them have a law like that.
Well, you know, the National Conference of State Legislatures said Arizona is the sixth state this year to introduce legislation relating to birth records or birth certificates in the foreign born. Uh-oh. Birth certificates? Okay. What do they call it? Those are birthers. Then you have truthers. This is something I really believe is maybe it's a time for it. If the government won't stop the illegal from coming across this border, by the way, those illegals, they're finding things out there, like little books on explosives, they're finding out, you know, all of these types of things. Stuff that could belong to terrorists or for terrorist training manuals. They're finding that out there along the border and across on our side. Having a child here and making that child a citizen, I don't understand the ramifications of that if you are here illegally.
Yeah, something has to
change. Why? Something's got to change. And nothing's. So, again, Arizona leads the way, and so what this means is that our government will then bring a lawsuit against them. And we've got to take a quick break. We come back, we'll be talking closer to home. But what happens if you have a nerve agent and it shows up missing? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. It's Friday. Get ready for the weekend.
Day, KCNR 1460. That's what you're listening to right now. Happy, happy Friday. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio. Kind of a fun little thing. We've got to go to the phones here in a second. I wanted to tell you about in Lancaster. It seems that Mayor R. Rex Paris proposed Monday that the Mojave Desert City broadcast recorded bird songs from loudspeakers. Seems that Paris said science indicates listening to bird chatter makes people happier.
Hey, you know, this portion of the show is brought to you by, that makes me happy, this makes me really happy, as we talk about a sponsor like Lumberjacks. They are sponsoring this portion of the show at 501 East Cypress Street, and we're going to talk about their breakfast specials. This is a good time to talk about breakfast specials. Monday through Friday only, great things, ham and eggs, chicken fried steak, New York steak and eggs. We're talking Lumberjack portions here. We're not talking Tweety Birds. We're talking Lumberjacks and ham and eggs for $3.99. The most expensive of these specials is $5.99. Check it out, Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You are live on KCNR.
Good morning, folks. Yeah, I was just listening to what you're talking about, possible Middle Eastern men, you know, that are extremists down in Mexico. And I heard a radio show yesterday where this girl was talking. She said that her family's from one of the border towns, and she says that, yes, there are Middle Eastern men here. And I know for a fact, I'm going to have to tell you off the air about a Middle Eastern man that came in illegally. I can't say over the air, but I could tell you off the air. And, they're doing it.
Well, you know, we've had, when I was in the military and looking at things about the who was coming across the border. And the other we've had a gentleman on here, Colonel Garrity, who works for the Central Intelligence Agency for decades, talking about how Hamas has moved into Venezuela and how it's just a steady stream of people moving up further and further north. Bob.
Didn't they catch a guy coming across the Canadian border with enough explosives to take out SeaTac Airport, and that was apparently his goal? This was about 5 years ago?
Yeah,
that's correct.
Well, you know, so it's, you know, as what you're saying is absolutely true, Jim, and people think, oh, these poor, you know, we're picking on these poor downtrodden Hispanics, these Mexicans, these Guatemalans, these Venezuelans. No, it's not just that. It's not just having our country taken over that way. It's having people. They're here to cause terror, to cause damage to us, to go to an airport like they did in Moscow and blow it up and kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
And how do you think, you know, if they can get if somebody can get across the border taking four of his kids with them, don't you think somebody can carry an explosives can get across?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the information I'm going to tell you off the air, I did not get from my cousin, but my cousin just got accepted to be a border guard. So I will probably be hearing some more stuff, you know, that, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. My son-in-law is a U.S. Marshal, Deputy U.S. Marshal, has been along the border several times, and the stories he tells are just, you know, the ones he can tell are just horrendous.
Chilling.
That what's going on. They are chilling. They were, you know, in here about what, you know, how the Border Patrol has their hands tied, you know, the Homeland Security is backing off because of a proposed lawsuit. Because they're defending themselves. I tell you, Jim, if what we're doing along the border is criminal, you know, you know what? No wonder they're coming across and they're doing it and they're laughing at us. And
yeah.
That
That is horrendous.
I'm going to let you go and let you, and I don't want to take up most of your time, so I'm going to listen to the rest of your show off the air.
Thank you, Jim, for listening.
All right, folks.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Hey, you know what? There's a mix-up over a tiny vial of a deadly nerve agent around the Army's dugaway proving grounds, a remote base in Utah, caused some consternation. A routine lab inventory on Wednesday indicated a small quantity of VX nerve agent was missing. So they shut down the installation as a precaution, and they found it's about 1 millimeter, or about a quarter teaspoon, was found about 3 a.m. local time. It was misplaced into a different container that was improperly marked. Right now they think there was no malicious intent. They think somebody was just clumsy. However, it's an amber-colored, odorless, tasteless, oily liquid that evaporates very slowly, almost like motor oil. One of the most lethal chemical weapons agents ever synthesized. It can be absorbed through the skin or inhaled as a vapor, causing rapid death by paralysis. A small drop on the finger can soak through the skin, attacking a person's nervous system and proving fatal in minutes. 1 millimeter could kill one person. It could kill 100 if it were sprayed properly. Something nice to be thinking about. I am glad that we have people there that maybe have just put the wrong label on it. That was kind of a scary thing. But they found it. Just a mistake. Hey, look, I work for the government. What are you going to do, fire me? Rahm Emanuel, back on the ballot in Illinois. Was there any doubt? He went up to the Supreme Court. Politics the Chicago way. You listen to Judge Neapolitano. No, not that one. Not the Homeland Security. This is the judge. Says that, hey, he lived a year completely away from there for 2 years. His social life was in D.C. Everything was in D.C. He lived in D.C. They're saying, of course, that on the Supreme Court is that no, he had some stuff he had left there, his wife's wedding dress and, you know, some kids' toys. So that meant he was going to come back. So obviously that, you know, the law was never meant to be for Rahm Emanuel. So that's changed. Now, big news. Reading city officials to buy Costco. So think about that right here in River City. It talks about, and this is Record Searchlight front page. We're talking about Costco wants to build a new building. And they're looking at that out there on Oasis, where that Oasis interchange is we've been building. And if they do, the Reading City officials are talking about buying Costco and refitting it for our police station.
That'd be great.
That would just be great. Patrick Jones was talking about it. Patrick Jones will be our guest on Monday. We want to talk about Charter City, and we're going to be talking about this. Is there a chance that this can happen?
The concern I have is, you ever seen Dana drive at 5 o'clock and Hilltop?
That's why you have sirens and blinking lights.
Yeah.
You know, they just turn them on. Hey, I got to get someplace. Turn them on. Wait a minute. Let me get on my cell phone, turn on the lights, and let's head off. So.
All right.
I hope. I know you all have a good sense of humor out there. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome to KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott here on this beautiful Friday afternoon, 7:34. Friday morning. Thank you. Turning around. Feels like afternoon to me. 7:34 in the morning. You know, we get up so early. So if you're just joining us, it is the 28th. Oh, my gosh. Let's go to the phones this morning for our fitness tip of the week. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Amy, how are you
doing? Okay, well, shoot. Tell us what's on your mind.
Okay, well, today I want to talk about intensity. Too many times people will come in and work out, not quite push themselves to the level that they need. So if you only have 20 minutes to work out, it's better than nothing. But instead of just getting on the treadmill and walking at a really light pace, make sure that you're walking at a level that if there was somebody right next to you at the next machine, you could only say about 3 or 4 words to them before needing to take another breath in. That's a pretty good indicator that you're exercising right at that good fat-burning level, or you need to have that intensity to get the heart rate burning. Or the heart, you know, the heart pumping to get that fat burning. Another thing is, if you only have those 20 minutes, maybe spend 10 minutes on the treadmill, and then why don't you get off and do some lunges and squats and push-ups. Again, to work the muscles. You want to get those lean muscles building strong so that you can have that metabolism revving for you on a more regular basis. So I want people to just kind of kick up the intensity, challenge themselves to do a little bit more than they think they could, push themselves just a little bit harder.
Well, I'll tell you something, Amy. I know Carl and I we're on a mission to recommit. And, you know, headlines today, I think if somebody wanted to take something that was really timely with the news, you know, Gabriel Gifford, the representative, the U.S. representative that was shot
yes.
with her bullet wound to the brain, they're
right.
saying that her being fit, the way that she has been fit, you know, she's a cyclist and she was has been very much into keeping fit is a portion of the reason that she's had this kind of recovery.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Linda, I used to teach a seniors class, and I had a lady who was about 80 years old in my class who had never, ever done any exercise until she joined my class. She'd been with me for about a year and a half, taking the class twice a week, so a woman who never exercised twice a week, and she ended up having a stroke, but she recovered so quickly, and the doctors were shocked at how quickly she recovered, and she attributed it to being in shape. She said for the first time in her life she was fit and, you know, strong, and she recovered from that stroke without any real major problem.
Well, great. I think that that's an inspirational way to close, that, you know, you get the oxygen to your brain. It's amazing how it really affects the rest of your body. And so you have been listening to Amy from Adamson's Peak Performance, and it's 20 minutes a day. You can do 20 minutes a day. Please do it. It's for mind, body, and matter, all of it.
You know it.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You guys too.
All right.
Thanks,
this
Amy.
Portion of the show has been brought to you by Mike's Music. Don't forget Mike's Music on Cypress, 243-3774. Again, they have rehearsal rooms, and they have, if you want to learn an instrument, go to the experts who are going to teach you about the instrument, how to play it. You can buy an all-inclusive packages. They've got great deals going on, Mike's Music and Sound. We got to take a break. Coming back, Carl, what's on the menu?
Well, we're going to be talking about a memorial that's going to be happening on Monday.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 741, January the 28th. Good morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. That's right, Doug Tooley is putting in Dish Satellite. He's moved to 1345 Liberty Street, and you can reach him at 244-1988. Doug's a local guy, a veteran, guarantees his work. We have him out at our house on using Dish Satellite, and we're very pleased with that. That's B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Now, on the phone, Jeff Nelson. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Carl.
We were starting to wonder about you.
Hey, Jeff.
Well,
usually the motorcycle comes through the front door.
What are you wearing?
Well, I'm trying to compose my thoughts.
Well, and, you know, the reason we have, we like having Jeff on anyway, he is the... Heads up the Patriot Guard riders up here in Northern California, and I think you're, what, the assistant state captain for the state of California,
assistant
too,
state.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, but we're talking about a specific incident now, or a specific mission that's going to occur Monday.
Well, yeah, this is very special for the entire community. This Monday at 4 o'clock at the Anderson River Park, we've been kind of put in charge of taking care of the Veterans Park inside the Anderson River Park. And Monday at 4 o'clock, we're dedicating a bench for Joshua Munns. And he was the Marine, former Marine. He was captured, tortured a couple of years ago in Iraq by the Taliban. And so we're putting up this bench and support of his family and to honor, you know, the sacrifice he made in his family. So it's an open event to the public, and we'd like to see some support down there. If you're able to, please come down and show your support to this young man. That's certainly one of our bravest heroes of the North.
Now, Josh would have been 28 years old Monday, so it's his birthday on the 31st. He was a Marine that had served for 4 years in the Marine Corps and had served a couple of tours in Iraq, scout sniper. He took a job as a security
and was betrayed by not only the people around him, but his company, obviously. And he was captured, and as Jeff said, and was killed. Now, we had a fundraiser to raise money for that bench a couple months ago, if I remember right. Is that true?
That's correct, yeah. We had two different events and raised more than the funds we needed by the generosity of the community. And as a sidebar to that, when I went down to order the bench and we were discussing what the writing was going to be and so forth, the owner of the company, Outdoor Creations, heard us talking and came in and asked about the event. When I told him the history of Josh, he looked at me and said, "The bench is free." And I said, "No, no, we've got the money. We've raised the money." And he said, "Don't embarrass me. The bench is free." So,
you know, Outdoor Creations, this is not the first thing they've done. They've done several other monuments that I'm aware of. But this to give it free is just shows you the type of people we have here in the North State, River City. When we say we honor our veterans in Shasta County, it's not just lip service. And I can't say enough about what he did from Outdoor Creations. I don't know the gentleman, but I'm going to make a point of going up and shaking his hand as soon as I can. If people don't know exactly where they're going, Jeff, can you give some quick directions out there?
Real simple. If you just follow the directions to go to Anderson River Park, obviously it's right on the riverbank here in Anderson, and everybody has the directions. If you ask any person or station or anything, you just go to Anderson River Park. It's down the end of Rupert Street, and as you enter the park, just keep looking to your left, and you can't miss it. We've put a big sign up for the park. There's an American flag there, and of course there'll be a lot of our motorcycle guys will be there, and a lot of the rest of the community.
Hey Jeff, will you tell us what time it is again? We know for those of who do know Anderson Park, I know recently we visited Anderson Park. It's such a beautiful setting. Again, what time is the event on Monday?
Okay, this will be Monday at 4 p.m. And we picked 4 p.m. because the schools will be out. His mother's a school teacher, and we want all the family there. So Monday at 4 p.m. in Veterans Park, Anderson River Park, this coming Monday.
Well, we urge people to take some time and go down there and join us. We'd like to be there also. And the other, we'll talk about it again Monday morning. And again, just to kind of remind people that. Take a few minutes, go down there, and for this for this dedication of this bench. It's I think it's a fitting way to remember Joshua. He was a member of our community. He was a warrior for our country, and he needs to be remembered like this. So, anything else, Jeff? What else the PGR got going here?
Well, we again here in Anderson, St. Joseph's Sacred Hearts School here. It's right by the park, and they're doing a Veterans Appreciation on Tuesday, the day after this event. So on Tuesday, I think it's 10:30 in the morning, the school is putting on a little event. We went last year, and each veteran got a little handmade American flag with the student's name on it, and they put on a program for us. So it's open to all veterans.
And what's the school?
It's Sacred Hearts School. It's right on Stingy Lane, just before you turn to go down to the Anderson River Park.
Okay. And they give out homemade American flags, huh?
Well, they did that last year. Every veteran in there, we got a little handmade flag made by the students, and it had the student's name on it.
That's great.
Is that great?
Yeah, they put on a really nice program. It's patriotic songs, and they put a little play on everything. It's very, very patriotic, obviously, and very appreciative.
Hey, Jeff, the Guard has been riding a lot, and there's been a lot of missions. Can you give us just an estimate of how many missions? I know that you figured it up last year. How many missions y'all go on?
We did 183 services last year. like most 95% of them probably all go out to IGO, the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. But we've done them all over the state, you know, and we just did a recent one in Susanville. That was spectacular. A Marine up there that was part of the police department. We've got a part of an event that's coming up very soon, a ride clear to Eureka as part of the MIAP. They're going clear to Eureka to pick up a couple of veterans that have never had their honors and bring them back.
And
so
when
weather's right, we'll spread our wings and we'll travel where it needs to be done.
I know at times that there have been anywhere, you know, 30, 40, 50 riders, and other times because it's been spread out in so many different ways, you have five or six riders. The day that we did the Pearl Harbor ceremony, I know that a lot of the Patriot Guard riders were on another mission, but we still managed to get, you know, 15 or 20 there.
So. Yeah, we've got a diehard group that show up rain or shine. I can't believe some of these guys. Christmas Day, they show up, rain, cold. When they got the time and they're ready, they're... And the one to Susanville, obviously, because of the snow, we couldn't ride the motors over there. But we had one guy ride his motor on the snow, on the ice, all the way over the mountains to Susanville. The rest of us chickened out and cut in our trucks.
Well, you know, that to me seems the prudent thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for the phone call. And we'll remind everybody again Monday about Joshua Munn's the ceremony out there. But, you know, thank you for the Patriot Guard riders and everything you all do.
Well, we just feel it's our honor to be able to do this. We got the time and means to do it, so we're going to stand up for our brave defenders of our country.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. Our guest in the next hour will be Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, and he's here. And we're going to be having him here in the studio.
Yeah, some questions. Let's queue him up. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Egypt. NR 1460. You're just tuning in. It's going to be high today of 64. Sunny, beautiful day. It's currently 36 degrees.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great place. Espresso Joe's for the type of coffee you want. They make it any way you want it. And they have great, great coffee beans for sale and all the equipment. And then you can walk on over to their humidor. That walk-in humidor that's got all different types of cigars, with Gran Habanos being some of my favorite, and any type of tobacco accessory. Not only that, Joe and Shelley support our community and support the veterans. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Well, about a half hour past midnight Friday morning, that's today, in Egypt, the internet went dead. Seems almost simultaneously the handful of companies that piped the internet into and out of Egypt went dark as protesters were gearing up for a fresh round of demonstrations calling for the end of Mubarak's nearly 30-year rule. Egypt seems to have apparently done what many technologists thought was unthinkable for any country with a major internet economy. It unplugged itself entirely from the internet to try and silence the dissent. Now, I know this morning, and we're trying to keep abreast of this, but this morning, before we came on the air, we were hearing how it is. It's like it's like the dam has been broken, and people from all walks of life are in this mode of mobbish unrest and unruled. Right now, the people are really in fear. In fact, the people who are commentating and reporting from there. One of the guys on the news this morning had tear gas in the back, so my throat swelling up. It's that kind of atmosphere right now.
Well, you know, the thing about Mubarak and Egypt is that for 30 years he has ruled. He's gotten 95% of the vote each time, which that's a pretty good average. The important part, I believe, is Mubarak and Egypt have been some of the ones that are keeping Hamas down, and they're the ones that have been acting. I mean, they've been, you know, I guess you could call them almost friendly to the United States in many of the things that happened. And so the main man that's running against him is somebody that was on the UN's commission for trying to find out about nuclear weapons. But now the Islamic Brotherhood has raised its head. Now this was a group of people that were not even allowed to meet. And like you said, honey, it's all levels of society, you know. And they talk about how it'll be like five or six people will just start walking down the street, and then out of a neighborhood, and then more join them, and more join them. It's just like streams going into a river, and now there's hundreds of thousands, and it's not just in one city, in Cairo. It's in many different cities that the protests are going on. And Mubarak so far has said he's not leaving. Now the question is he said that he wants to be there for the transition. The question is how and who is going to take over the reins in Egypt? So that's something that could have a huge impact on us in the Middle East.
We'll keep you abreast, though.
It seems like everything that's happening can have a huge impact on us. We've got about 30 seconds left. When we come back in our next segment, our guest is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, who will be in here in the studio with us. And that he's got his working man shirt on here. It looks like he's ready to take it on.
Yeah, get your questions ready. 605-4567, or the chat room's always open at KCNR1460.com. We love interacting with you, so let's get it going here on this Friday afternoon on KCNR.
Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. They're protesting and being beaten and tear gassed. People out in the streets by the tens of thousands again in Egypt. The opposition leader detained. The army's moving in, and there's a curfew.
Protests continue here.
CNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05 on January the 28th, 2011, and I think it's going to be a beautiful day.
A high of 64 today. Sunny, beautiful day. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 34. Currently 36 degrees. This weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Just a short drive from Palo Cedro. Make your reservations. I think there's just a few tables left for February 13th, Valentine's Day. Candice Lavulsi will be playing her harp, and there is a five-course meal planned.
And a bottle of wine. And we're still getting comments from yesterday that said, thank goodness for our guys, because they started pulling the recipes off. John Stadelli, the chef from there, we were talking a number of things, but he started giving out recipes for a luau, and it was just outstanding.
And speaking of people who like to make it happen in the kitchen, so he's cooking stuff up, our special guest this morning,
Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, and the kitchen.
Did you like
being,
that segue?
Being,
well, I'll tell you, it reminds me of Harry Truman. You can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. And being in the legislature, particularly in these dire times, it's like being in the kitchen.
We were saying how fit you look, and you are always so great and just so energetic, and we love you giving your gusto like you do. And you were saying, I've got a story about Arnold. What's that?
Oh, it's kind of funny. My wife and I were going into Governor Brown's inauguration, and there was a small area in the back of the Memorial Auditorium where the legislators came in. So we were going in single file, and my wife was ahead of me and ran into Maria, and they know each other, so they said a few things. And I followed Marilyn in and said a couple of things to Maria myself and started to walk in, and this very powerful arm grabbed me and pulled me to the right. And I looked around and squared off. It was Arnold. And he had grabbed me and pulled me over to him, because I had not seen him. I was just going on in, and he said, you're solid. And I said, well, Governor, not as solid as you are, but it makes me feel good that I worked out hard this morning, which I had. And then he said, Jim, he said, thank you so much. You were the heavy lifter on all of the budget stuff for the last 2 years, the water negotiations, and all the parole and correction stuff. I wanted to thank you very much. And that felt good because, you know, I differed with him more than I'd agreed with him on a lot of things, including the correction stuff. But to have him simply acknowledge that, but kind of puffed up my old ego when this massive weightlifter said, you're solid.
Well, you know, the surprise part is when you said he grabbed you and pulled you to the right.
Yep.
And I thought, Arnold pulling anybody to the right, that is a surprise.
Well, pulling Jim Nielsen to the right would be a hard
thing. Arnold pulling Jim Nielsen to the right is, you know, that's... Okay. You know, Jim, we're going to break this a little bit early, because when we come back, I know you've got some comments about Egypt, because you've made a couple of trips over there. I'd like to talk about that. People, I'm concerned about this, what's happening in Egypt, because this could have a severe impact on other parts of the Middle East that we're already having problems with already. But then, of course, we've already got questions lining up here about the, you know, Brown and his new budget and his attempts, and just what's going on with cuts, and how come the term illegal has not been mentioned anywhere in, you know, when you see budget cuts. So anyway, these are all just parts of the questions that we're going to have when we come back. So our guest is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 8:13 in the morning on January the 28th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. And you know what? They've got a seniors menu there. Must be 55 or older. Two great dinners for $12. And you get two sides, and they have, you know, as an example, grilled tilapia or roasted turkey or grilled sole, any of that. That's Lumberjacks. They give great portions there, and they give great value for the money. So their senior menu must be 55 or older. They're at 501 East Cypress. And that's 501 East Cypress, Lumberjacks.
Our guest is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen this morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, and, Northern California.
And we were talking before the break about Egypt. Can you share a little of your stories regarding your trips?
Mubarak being in the news was very moving for me, because in 1975, I traveled to Egypt, India, Pakistan, and Israel and Italy as a member of the Ag Leadership Program. That's a program for 30 farmers every year are picked to 2 years of leadership training. You travel nationally and internationally. You continue to farm, but you do weekend seminars and then national and international travel. And one of our spots was Egypt. And in Egypt, in Cairo, we got to meet with Syed Mirai, then the president, who was later assassinated, and Mubarak, who was the chief of the army then at that time, and another fellow named Syed Mirai, who was the vice president. Many years later, I got to meet with Syed Mirai in San Francisco when he came to speak to the Commonwealth Club. But during those travels through the Middle East, and particularly Egypt and Israel, we saw all those enormous tensions. And the role that Mubarak played and why Sadat was assassinated, it became very clear to us. He was assassinated because he tried to make some rapprochement with Israel, and that's why he was assassinated. Well, the Mubarak then took over, and all these decades, maybe he has been a little bit heavy-handed indeed, and some would say maybe dictatorial, but there's been stability in Egypt. And because Egypt is so predominant in the Mideast, that has helped stability in the Mideast, and most importantly, Egypt has been historically an ally, particularly in the Gulf Wars. And now, with all this turmoil, Tunisia as well as Egypt, it's very unnerving. Now, I do not consider myself an expert, but having been there and met those people and having a little bit of insights, these are perilous times.
Well, you know, the fact how they shut down the Internet and its Internet economy they have in that. That's, of course, not the main reason we brought you on, but when we were talking about it during the break, that you do have experience there. And you're right. This could have a severe impact on us in the Middle East. Okay. It's a new game.
And we're going to have to just keep abreast of everything that's happening, because every minute something is unfolding.
Yeah, we'll do updates on this. But, Jim, a new game.
New game in town.
All the questions here, a lot of the questions are, tell us about Brown.
Well, it's a new game and an old game. Many years ago, I was a newly elected young farmer to the state senate the year Jerry Brown was reelected governor. And we were musing about that the other day, the governor and I, and I reminded him that we immediately began fighting over the peripheral canal and the medfly. And he laughed and he said, well, you whipped me on both. And I said, well, not really. I said, the invasive species are still a problem for agriculture. And the peripheral canal still is around out there somewhere as a debate item. It was in our water battles a couple of years ago. I've worked with Brown in the years since. During my years as head of the Board of Prison Terms of California, he had a lot of crime problems in Oakland, so I dealt with him in that respect, and then certainly so as his terms as Attorney General. Now he's come back, and I would say that Governor Brown is a little bit more mature, not quite as kooky on ideas. And he is really trying. He's reaching out. For example, night before last, he came to our ag leadership reception at the Senator Holy Hotel in Sacramento. And he doesn't, Arnold would never, ever come to these things. Well, he came and with a bunch of farmers, which is not that natural constituency for him. And the agricultural community did not support his election. But he reached out to us. He's reached out to me many times at that reception. He walked directly over to me and said, Jim, I really need your help on the budget. And I said, well, Governor, I'll help you on some things and other things I won't help you on. And he knows what those are, taxes, tax increases particularly. But he does want to meet with people. He's come to the Republicans and met with them personally and collectively.
Do you see this as a change?
It really is. I mean, Arnold did not. He disdained the legislature. Now, the legislature deserves some disrespect, but that's not my point.
Yeah.
When you're the governor, you have got to deal with that legislature, and Jerry Brown is trying to do it. And he's come up with some hard cuts. I don't like his taxes, but by golly, there's never been anybody that proposed cuts like Jerry Brown, certainly no Democrat.
Okay, well, let's go to the phones here. Let's go to Dan on line one. Dan, good morning.
Morning, you guys. Find some good books yesterday, Carl?
I did. You know what? Okay. I did find some, Dan.
Oh, sure you did. I just want to make a couple comments on Moonbeam's budget proposals. I could tolerate the extension of the payroll taxes and the sales tax because those are already in place and those are increment. You know, they're small amounts basically. But it's the VLF that a person has to come up with a lump sum at one time, which really hurts. And I've only been working half-time the last couple of years, and that makes it real tough to come up with a lump sum. The other point is, I find it interesting, for lack of a better word, that in his budget proposal, the Democrat, who is the party of the poor and the downtrodden, gives the biggest hit to Medi-Cal and social services.
Well, those are the biggest part of the budget. You cannot cut in the budget without touching that area, Dan. That's the challenge we face. A lot of other things are off the table, largely, like public education because of Prop 98, other autopilot spending things. So the corrections area and the health and human services areas are areas that can be cut.
Well, I noticed that there's been other cuts, too. I tell you, let's go to line two here. Okay, line two. Jim, we've got a few minutes here before the break. You got a question for Assemblyman Nielsen?
Yeah. I'll make it quick, and I'll get off the air. Yes. I heard Jerry Brown say from his own lips that the illegals are not the problem because of the budget deficit. And that is true. I mean, but they're a big part of it. And what upsets me is when people who don't have to worry about illegals taking their jobs, like me, a construction worker, say things like that. And I would like to know how you guys are going to address the illegal immigration problem, and I'll take my answer off there.
Yeah, Jim, it's been attempted every year that I've been around the legislature, and I guess I'm in my, 15th year of it. And every time we attempt or even successfully get anything in the budget, we usually lose it in the courts. But that push does continue, and proposals were proffered the last 2 years, and then again this year to curb some of those excesses. But this governor seems to be very dedicated. He made one of these pronouncements that the first bill that he wanted to sign would give the education benefits to the children of illegal people in the state of California. I'm working on a number of things right now.
He wants to have one so that the education benefits would be given to the illegals.
They would definitely qualify. But frankly, that overtly and absolutely disadvantages our native-born children, youth, and adults.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. Brown, when he came in and he said he wanted to make these changes and all that, but you know, and then you start seeing things like this. This is, I don't understand how he's going to do it. But we have a lot of questions.
Well,
everybody else has a lot of questions.
What did you expect?
Back. Well, you know what? I expected him to, to face reality here. But maybe that's his reality. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 8:24 on January the 28th. Our guest is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, and we've got all types of questions rolling through here. We've got, you can call us at 605-4567 and talk to the assemblyman, or we'll just try to get to these questions. Yeah, Dennis, you're right. Brown came in and told us exactly what was wrong and how he intended on dealing with it. Yeah, he did do that. So, Jim, his budget, tremendous cuts.
Yeah, for a Democrat, tremendous cuts, $12.5 billion.
And part of that is in the college and universities. I know at Shasta College here are talking about a $1.4 million cut in theirs and how to try and make that up.
Well, higher education fared reasonably well, in fact, very well, in last year's budget. If any area did well, it was higher education. Other years, they've hurt. This year, what's proposed is going to be a real belt tightening. But it's a bit of a surprise that Brown was embracing the cuts, but he's realistic. We cannot solve this problem without cuts. On the other hand, he's proposing $14 billion in tax increases. That, I think, is a problem.
Now, he's talked about keeping the ones we have. They were supposed to sunset. That they've already been here. The vehicle tax. I think income tax, etc. And sales tax. Now, how long is those have just been on the books for just a few years?
Well, that's one of the points. The people, rightly, and legislators are skeptical of that. You know, they were sold in 2009 as a temporary 2-year tax. Well, guess what? 2 years down the road, now we're talking about extending them 5 years more. So what was 2 years is 5 years. What are the assurances of government? Oh, well, they're only going to be temporary taxes. I don't think that there's any such thing. Once you get weaned onto the taxes to fund all these programs, the only way that you recover is if the economy recovers and you do things that encourage business. And what these taxes do, if they are extended, they are going to discourage business and jobs.
Oh, you know, and we'll go to the phones here in just a second, Bruce. Hang on. The thing about it is that what did we do with all that extra money? That was supposed to help with the budget, and instead we've gotten a bigger deficit.
Well, what I argued, Carl, is if raising 3 years ago when I went back to the legislature, that raising taxes to fix the deficit only funds what's broken. It does not fix anything. We need to do a lot of fixing. And even with the near $40 billion in the state budget that's been reduced in the 2 years that I've been back as vice chairman of the budget committee, I'm delighted to have played a major role, the key role, in cutting $40 billion. But I make this point. Has California fallen off the map? Are the agencies of government not functioning? Talk about your favorite agency. Call it DMV or the Air Resources Board, one of mine, or the Coastal Commission or the water boards. They're doing not business as usual. They're hurting us worse, and they're raising fees and applying fees to more things, I argue, illegally. No, they're still out of control, even with $40 billion out of the budget. So raising taxes doesn't fix it.
Okay, well, let's go to Bruce. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Jim. Well, back, it sounds to me like the legislatures down there, the Republicans or the conservatives, have thrown the towel in on this illegal immigration or illegal costs for California. I mean, these are your guys' numbers. It's $10.5 billion for California. For the whole country, it's $338.3 billion. And it's just off the ledger. Nobody's going to address that. Is that true?
No, to the contrary. The Republicans in Congress and in the state legislature are the only ones that are standing up to it. We're going to be fighting another battle over illegals getting driver's licenses. I'm sure that bill is going to be run again this year. It'll likely pass, and this governor will likely sign it. No, to the contrary, the Republicans are the only ones that are pushing back.
Well, I think that's one of the greatest threats to our country, and especially California, the sovereignty of our country. And it's like the boiling the old frog deal there. And you don't have to be a rock scientist. Just take trips if you've been down the valley. Look, we've got cities down there that just the same as they have in Mexico.
Well, sir, I've farmed both the east and west sides of the San Joaquin Valley and a good portion of the Sacramento Valley. I've looked it right in the eye.
I know you have. Well, I feel really bad. Just off the deal there, is there any way that you can make Perez give back part of the money to his $190,000 secretary?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're in the majority party, you just write the check and hire him on.
So there's no limitations on what staff can be paid, huh?
Well, to be quite honest with you, there's no salary schedule for legislative staff. No, sir. There's no control.
Okay, guys. We'll let them.
You know, that's something. Yeah, there's. Yeah, you know that. That to me is really irritating. That okay, yeah, we're not going to give these groups of people. We're going to give these groups of people a cut. But let's just give a raise to all the secretaries here. Okay, we got to take a break here. I think. How close are we there, Bad Bob?
Not enough arms this morning. We're about 30 seconds.
All right. Okay, the we calls got are coming seconds. In, 605-4567. We're also taking your questions on chat. We're enjoying this moment with you, Jim. And we appreciate, we have Assemblyman Jim Nielsen with us this morning here on KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
You know, the when we come back, we want to talk again more on the taxes and the budgets and how can we, you know, what are we going to be looking at? And then a lot of these water issues.
Let's talk
too.
About regulation and fees a bit, too.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Here on KCNR 1460, Alma Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:34 in the morning, January 28th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. They give great haircuts there. They give discounts to veterans. They to support our community. And it's Man's Last Stronghold. That's right, Man's Last Stronghold. That's Cypress Square Barbershop in the off Athens Avenue in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Our guest today is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen. And let's go to the phones. Good morning, Janet.
You're on the
good
air.
Good morning.
You're
good
on
morning.
The air.
Good morning.
Good morning. You are on the air.
Thank you. I have a quick couple of things. Number one, I tuned in late, but all I've heard is criticism of the budget fixes. I want to hear solutions, not criticism. Secondly, I want to know if the senator is willing to carry legislation that will fine and put teeth into punishing those employers who hire illegals.
To the latter point, that is happening and will continue to happen, absolutely. That is absolutely.
Are you carrying it?
No, we don't even have to carry it. There are already statutes on the books, and it has to be federal more than state anyway. But the point is, I support that. Now, as to your broader question, absolutely there are solutions. Raising
I'd like to hear them.
Well, let me give them to you, okay?
You bet.
One, we have to limit the size of state government. That means going through the codes and eliminating a lot of the authorities that have been granted statutorily over the years to these agencies. We need to have massive reform of regulations, wherein government agencies now, without even statutory authority, are broadening what they apply fees to, and they are raising fees on people like up in the water users, up in the Siskiyous. That's a huge deal. Let's talk specifically about proposals that I've offered. One area I know a lot about is corrections because I spent 15 years as the head of Board of Prison Terms. I've worked on, actually we had to do this through litigation, that we won a case in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, provisions I put into Marcy's law that saved $26 million a year where we would not have to provide attorneys for parole violators in their hearings. I put into effect a unit called a litigation prevention unit within the Department of Corrections. We redirected, we didn't hire new, we forced them to redirect attorneys to not fight the inmate lawsuits, but rather to take proaction to ensure we don't have the lawsuits and we don't have them be successful when they are coming through. I proposed 6 years ago an idea for an HMO concept for inmates to constrain health care costs. Finally had a victory last year with it, with the federal receiver embracing my idea, although the legislative committees killed my bill to do this. The HMO, had we put it into effect several years ago, would have saved multi-millions of dollars and ultimately billions, because it would have limited what a federal receiver could say, health care is whatever I want it to be. A blank check, in other words, which is what's been suffered by this state for some 6 years. That is a very constructive solution. Another scary one. $4 billion of the corrections budget is a black hole. You don't even know what's in it. I raised the issue vigorously early last year and finally did have success breaking that down into 22 line items. In other words, we didn't even know what they're spending the money on. Now, most recently, another Department of Corrections story. Last year, because one of the actions I took is stopping them from coming back through what are called deficiencies. They would overspend for decades, and then they'd come back the next year for a deficiency bill to get money appropriated for what the overrun was. And nobody was questioning it. The legislature would just summarily pass it. Well, that has ended. However, then they took another approach and went straight to the Board of Claims last year to get them to approve a redirecting of $100 million that was in their budget that they wanted to use for something else, in this case, overtime and paying accrued annual leave. And this year, I've shined a spotlight on that. I brought it up, in fact, committee day before yesterday. And it was pretty vigorous hearing. The corrections people didn't happen to like it very much. But that's another huge area. That's one of the areas where it is most out of control. Categorical programs in education. The last 2 years we've shifted because we were able to force it. We had the leverage in the legislature to do it. Returning categorical programs to local school districts to make their decisions. Your local superintendents. The superintendents have told me that's been a godsend to them, giving them that flexibility. And I asked my staff then to take a look at, well, what then do we not have to do in the State Department of Education since we've shifted this responsibility to the locals? Well, it's staff-wise only $10 million. I thought it would be more, but that's some real money. Here's another key point that I raised again just even day before yesterday in committee and again the week before. As we disengage things or as we reduce the size of government, we have to make sure then that the people, the personnel, are reduced also. What has happened historically, if something was shifted to local government, for example, then the state employees that did that job just stay right there. As I most mentioned, the people that conduct programs or the categorical programs in the Department of Education. We've got to look at that side of the equation.
So once you shifted the job, the people would still stay there.
The people stayed there, and they just made work.
Made work for them. Okay. Yeah, Jim, we've got to take a break here. We've got like 500 questions lined up here to do it. And I know one of the things we want to talk about is the high-speed train.
Absolutely.
And water.
And
water.
How that ties into the water problem. And we're going to be talking about the water grab also when we come back, plus all these other questions. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Welcome to Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Currently 38 degrees on this beautiful Friday, the 28th of January. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Inside is Espresso Joe's, a great place for a cup of coffee.
Our guest is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen. And Jim's been talking about the variety of things, but anywhere from parolees and the prison, you know, problems in that to
Egypt.
Egypt. Yeah, I mean, we covered all of it. Now we want to talk about high-speed trains and water, because one of the things that I and many other people are concerned about is, again, a commission or department going after water. But how does this tie into the high-speed trains?
Well, it's a kind of an irony. About 4 years ago, the voters of California approved $7 billion, which is not even a down payment, to create a high-speed rail throughout California. In the water agreement of a year ago, we were hard-fought, and I was the key negotiator for my side of this, if you will, to get only a meager $3 billion for storage. Now, my point about this, that speed rail, over the decades of life of it, will only serve the hundreds of thousands of people at best. And it's going to cost in the $40 billion plus to do that. Water is for the generations. Water is for our grandchildren. Water is what's going to be 50 years from now. And we're not willing to spend more than $3 billion to even make a small dent in our water needs in California. I raised quite a fuss about a month ago. I did an op-ed about the speed rail. And I really stirred up the speed rail devotees. They came in to see me a week ago. Not outraged, but, you know, they were trying to push back and convince me. And I said, look, this does not pencil out, folks. The few hundreds of thousands that this will ever serve in the state of California, I cannot see the value of these billions we're going to put into it. Let's put our billions into other infrastructure, like our road transport. Well, we need to get people out of the car. We've got to get the carbon problem. I said, we cannot survive without our infrastructure, and this is not infrastructure that's needed. And in addition to that, they're going to be taking an awful lot of land. So the problem is, I look at it, at the least, it's taking money away from what we ought to be doing for other necessary infrastructure. This just is not that needed in California. They said, well, we've got to keep up with China. I said, this is not the way to keep up with China. They're taking our jobs because of our oppressive regulatory and fees in the state of California, the hostile environment that runs business away. That's why they're booming. It's not because of speed rail, and we need to keep up with them in speed rail. You're moving too few people.
I think one of our chatters said, look at BART. Right? We're still paying for it with increased state tax, and it never goes away. I mean, if you think that running a high-speed train from L.A. to San Francisco, and you know, I guess they're starting some of these BARTs, I don't understand what the people are thinking of
that voted, you know, again, in this past November to continue doing this.
Well,
we don't have money.
Senator Lamothe and I are one of a kind on this, and we're teaming up to say whoa to speed rail. We think that that is a wrong priority for the state of California, particularly now.
Another question, Second Amendment. That the one law that AB, I think it was 962 or whatever it was, so you had to be fingerprinted to buy ammunition, was struck down by the courts.
Yes, sir.
Do you? But other do you see other attacks on the Second Amendment rolling in?
Every year there are many. The last night of session in October, it was in August, but there was another session in October on the budget. But a bill was brought up at the very last of the session. And we actually were able to filibuster it. I got up and started talking, and I talked and talked and talked and induced others to talk, and the clock ran out, and that bill died. This was the open carry bill. Carl, Linda, every year there's going to be dozens of these bills. In the aftermath of what's just unfortunately happened in Arizona, you're going to see more. And we'll just have to keep fighting. We had a positive court decision. That is really encouraging. Maybe the courts are paying attention. But this is a fight that continues. Those of us who believe in the Second Amendment are always going to have to be vigilant and fighting.
Jim, we had a question from the chat room from Angel. How does the North State get involved? Because it seems that letters and emails and phone calls are falling on deaf ears.
Well, it's really not just the North State. It's everywhere, the citizens' involvement. And I argue, develop relationships with elected representatives. Be aware of what's going on, but don't just rely on your elected representatives. And I think it's fairly easy to deal with Doug Lamalfa and I up here, and you clearly know what our priorities are and what we're fighting for on your behalf. And we want to hear from you, but I tell people in organizations, look, you have friends and associates and business people and organizations that you're a part of all over the state. Communicate with them, too, and ask them to put pressure on their legislators, or communicate with them, not pressure, but communicate with them their sentiments that you share. And then you're expanding the base of support. And I'll give you an example of how something translates into success. The water. So I'm negotiating this water thing, and I've been around water all my life. I've farmed the east and west sides of the San Joaquin Valley, the Sacramento Valley. I was a Delta senator for a good portion of the Delta, and all the Sacramento River and its watershed has been very frustrating. We were able to collectively stop all the bad parts of the water deal that was proposed in the Schwarzenegger administration, which would have given us a water czar who would have been literally the dictator of water of California, and a Delta Stewardship Council, which would have been far more powerful than even the darn Coastal Commission of the water boards. And we were able to stop that. And why? Just because we're so smart and powerful? Not at all. We've built a broad coalition. Who was the coalition? Maybe non-traditional for Republicans, organized labor, traditional labor, the carpenters, the electrical workers, the operating engineers were our allies. They met with me in my office almost every day during the Water Conference Committee, strategizing how to win. The Latino community, who finally realized, Latino legislators, that the people they cared about, those farm workers of the West Side where I farmed, were out of work. But not only those Latino farm workers, but the El Perdido Mobile Latino farm workers who would end up being the manager of the farm shop and the manager of the shop in town, and their children could go to college. They got that having that water not available was going to be a tragedy and a travesty for the people that they represented. So we built a coalition. That's how the North State can have a voice. I worked with these other entities and groups to try to win what we needed to protect our water. And in that bill, and in the bond that will be considered in 2012, we've got the strongest area of origin protections ever. That's significant because you've broadened your coalition of support. That's how the North State can have a broader voice through your own elected representatives and you yourself through communicating with others.
Okay. All right, Jim, thanks. We've got to take a break here. We've got Jim on the line also when we come back. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. 1460, Carl and Linda Bott, 8:54 in the morning, January 28th. Our guest is Assemblyman Jim Nielsen, and we could use another hour here, but I think the network could get a little bit upset. Let's go to the phones. Jim, you have a question for the Assemblyman.
Yes, I do. Jim, I sure appreciate what you've been doing down there so far and your stance on what you sound like you're doing this morning, but can you explain to me why hydroelectric is not green energy at all?
Very simple. Mm-hmm. To the environmental community, hydropower means only one thing. It does not mean hydropower of the least expensive forms of power. It means dams. They don't want dams. They want dams removed. I'm fighting that up in the Klamath right now, the movement to remove dams. And I argue we do not need to remove dams. We need to build dams in the state of California. It's because of dams, Jim.
Right. But that's that's the best use of energy and also storage of water for the future. And that's the main thing, that they need to start thinking about. But the environmentalists seem to think they're going to go back to acorns, I guess.
Yeah, we'll burn acorns. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Thank you.
Hey, Jim, okay, let's go back. And it's staying on water. Siskiyou County, the water battle going on up there that could affect everybody.
It'll affect, it guaranteed affect everybody. The Department of Fish and Game has re- and misinterpreted a provision of the Fish and Game Code, the statute went waiting back to the 60s. And now they're going out to our landowners and they're saying, well, you have to sign a voluntary agreement. But if you don't sign this voluntary agreement, we can arrest you. Now, that doesn't sound very doggone voluntary to me. And they argued with me that, well, we're not really taking their water. And I'm saying, yes, you are, because they're right. They're not taking their water right. Well, I said, yes, you are, because if they cannot divert their water, meaning they can't use it to irrigate, then you are denying their water right as well as their water. So don't give me the semantic of
bunch
of
these are individual water rights that they have bought, that have been in their families, could be for a century.
In the 1880s, some of these landowners, that's breaking their hearts. And these individuals, representatives of Fish and Game, have become out like Gestapo folks and saying, if you don't sign this voluntary agreement, we can arrest you. Or we can shut your water off anyway. It's the most heavy-handedness that I've ever seen. But the bottom line, what I believe it is in Fish and Game, they want to be able to apply fees to more people and more fees, in this case, for water. And they want to have the power they now do not have to control water rights. And that's the game. It's a power play, again,
by
an arrogant agency.
How can we stop? This is not an elected official. This is an agency that should be working for our government. How do we stop these guys?
We've had meetings, several meetings, right here in Reading, as a matter of fact, and we're going to keep pushing back. We'll be doing some statutory changes. Assemblyman Lamoff is going to try a bill. I have had countless meetings. The Farm Bureau and Pacific Legal Foundation filed a lawsuit, although the Farm Bureau just recently dropped their lawsuit. The plaintiffs were able to get the venue changed to San Francisco, and guess how we're going to do in San Francisco in a lawsuit about protecting water, at least Northern California water. Mm. But, this is a war on every front that we're going to be fighting. We're going to fight it through regulation. We're going to fight it through the budget. We're going to fight it through the statute. And we're going to fight it through just beating the heck out of Fish and Game wherever we appropriately can. I don't mean physically, but this is a battle that must be won. When you're taking your water rights from people, that's the battle we've got to win.
Well, we've got like about a minute
left. Is your burr up?
Yeah. Well, you know what? If it's not, my friends, it should be. And we've got to find a way to protect ourselves. And I hate to say this, we have to find a way to fight, and bring bring forces to bear. And I don't mean guns. Bring forces to bear to stop this. These are organizations that work for us. They're not even elected officials.
No.
And they're taking away individual property rights. I can't tell you how this one thing infuriates me. And it should infuriate you that we have fought so long to have our personal freedoms and then to have something like this.
Let me give you another example. The new water czar. And I negotiated the provisions that limited his authority. Okay? Well, he now has just made a pronouncement 2 weeks ago that totally is beyond the law. And he says, I'm going to be able to tell all you farmers how much you have to conserve of your water. In other words, how much of your water you cannot use. And I will tell you that all over the state of California. And the statute does not allow him to do that. Suffice to say, he's getting pushed back at and punched at by those of us who don't think that's right.
Right. Okay. Everybody takes a deep breath here. Jim?
I need to, too. Them's fighting words, as Mark Twain said.
Yeah. You know. Thank you so much for being here, stopping by the studio and talking today about everything that's going on. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. And, you are always open. You've always been available to the people up here.
A great representative.
Thank you.
For the people.
That's right. Thank you very much. Now, on Monday, we're having former Mayor Patrick Jones is on. He's going to be talking about the Charter City, and we're going to be talking about the possibility of buying the Costco building, it going out to Oasis, and me turning that into a police station. That should be an interesting show. That'll be on Monday.
Thank you for being
Thank you so
today.
Much.
Thank
Cinnamon.
You, folks.
And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR, Shasta, Redding.